Luke chapter 14, and let's begin reading in verse 26. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000, to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Father, we thank you again for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in church. Thank you for this evening, Lord. And Lord, we've already been blessed by the fellowship, the singing, the specials. And Lord, it's our desire, Lord, to truly have a thankful heart tonight. Lord, it's our desire to worship. Lord, it's our desire to give you praise. But Lord, for the next few moments, I pray that you'd, Lord, just speak to our hearts and our minds. Give us that which we stand in need of. Lord, if there is one here tonight that's never come to a saving knowledge of you, I pray that you convict them of their need for salvation. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wanted to say before I get into the message tonight, glad to have Laura with us here tonight. We're so glad that you're here. And she's the newest member of God's family. Amen. And she received the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior Sunday evening after the service. Thank you for those that were working with her and Miss Melanie in particular for your prayer. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. I love to see people get saved and then come to church. And that's what it's about. So we're so thankful. Thank you for being here. You're our special guest tonight, Laura. Thank you very much. 88% of Americans surveyed by the National Turkey Federation will eat a turkey or some turkey on Thanksgiving. 46 million turkeys are eaten each year on Thanksgiving. I know they pardoned a couple of them on Fox News the other day. I imagine they're not part of that 46 million. Ben Franklin, in a letter to his daughter, had proposed that turkey be the official United States bird, and I'm sure glad that that did not happen. Number one, because I love the bald eagle. It's a very majestic creature. But number two, I like to eat turkey. Amen. The average weight of a turkey purchased at Thanksgiving is 15 pounds. The heaviest turkey ever raised was 86 pounds, about the size of a large dog. That's a big bird. It's a big bird. A 15-pound turkey, on average, has about 70% white meat, which is the healthy meat, and 30% dark meat, which is the fatty meat. I was thinking about that statistic. I'm actually opposite of that. I'm about 70% fatty meat, and then maybe 30% lean meat. I'm going to have a hard time tonight, church, I'm just telling you. Turkey, of course, is very low in fat, high in protein. Turkey, on a per pound basis, has more protein than even chicken or beef. And then, of course, as we all know, white meat has fewer calories and less fat than dark meat. When people tell me around Thanksgiving that I had too much turkey and I went into a food coma, I promise you it was not the turkey. All right? Tonight we're preaching just a simple message on preparations, and I started to talk about going to church with turkeys, but I didn't know how some of y'all would take that. That might have been offensive to some of y'all. But we're talking about preparations tonight. Three types of preparations I want to mention tonight. We find in the Word of God, actually, if you look over in John chapter 14, there's something here that the Lord Jesus Christ said. John chapter 14, one of my favorite passages or chapters of Scripture here. But he says in John 14 and 1, starting 14 and verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then watch what he says. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Understand that part of our salvation means that God, through His foreknowledge and through the beginning of time, made some preparations so that you and I could be saved. In fact, we see the first revelation, or the first really prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, or maybe 14, somewhere in there, where it talks about the enmity between man and the woman, and it shall bruise thy head, speaking to the devil, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So even at that time when sin had come into the garden, God had already started to make preparations so that you and I could be saved, so you and I would have an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. In that text that we read, the Bible is clear that Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And friend, I'm glad that He is making preparations for me. I'm glad that I have a reservation on one of those mansions that He's talking about. Amen. Just for the record, some other versions would say there are many rooms, but my Bible tells me there's many mansions. Amen. And there's a difference in subject or topic of what we're talking about there. But the first type of preparation, friend, was made by God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, when He made a way. In fact, in just down in verse number 6 of that same chapter, of chapter 14, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Aren't you glad that Jesus made a way for you and I tonight? Amen. Without Him, there's no other way. And if you're here tonight, friend, if you're listening via live stream, I want you to know in this season and today, and we're going to get on that more in just a second, but there's a lot of preparations that are being made in observance of what we do tomorrow. But the greatest preparation was ever made is what Jesus did for you and I. Friends, so that you and I wouldn't have to go to a devil's hell. So if you're listening, if you're here tonight, and you don't really understand what it's about, I'm telling you that Jesus went to the cross. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So number one tonight, the greatest preparation for us to be aware of is the preparation of salvation, what Jesus did for us on the cross. Second of all, I want to spend a little time of just illustrating some simple thoughts on how God starts to prepare us as well. Now, when you think about the statistics that we read, of course, the main feature at most meals tomorrow is going to be the turkey. In fact, according to this survey, as we shared, 88% of them will be a turkey as the main course. Now, I like all the things that go with it, so you know what I'm talking about. I like all the other things that go along with it. But when you think about the turkey, you can't just take a turkey and just pick one up and then just automatically eat it. You do understand anybody who's been fixing turkeys has to make some preparations before that thing could be cut up, carved up, or whatever the case may be, and put on the dinner plate. You know, the first thing that has to be done is there has to be a selection made. There has to be a purchase made. Amen? That's a reminder to you and I that the Bible says we are bought with a price. Amen? I'm glad to tell you tonight that there's been a purchase made a long time ago on Calvary. If you've been saved by the grace of God, the Bible tells us that we have been bought with a price. Just as you'll go to the store, or maybe one was gifted to you, still yet somebody somewhere paid for that for you, or there was a purchase made, there was a transaction made, so that way that bird could be purchased. So when we think about preparations, the first thing you obviously have to have is you have to make a purchase or receive that gift. Now, when we think about what Jesus did for us, there is no purchase that you and I made. The purchase was on His part. The gift receiving was on our part. Amen? So there was nothing that we did to buy or earn our salvation. But when we're thinking about the preparations, we think about the purchase. Now, there's something else that has to happen. For those of you all who cook turkeys, can you just go and purchase one and then put it right in the oven? No. Something else has to happen, doesn't it? It has to be thawed out. Amen? Has to be thawed out. And you know, the average bird, I think it takes, you know, about 24 hours for every 4 pounds of turkey that you have. So depending on the size of the turkey really helps to determine how long you need to start to thaw that bird out, right? You know, when you think about the thawing process, first of all, the reason why you can't cook it then is it's hard. It's hard as a rock. I mean, if you ever dropped a frozen turkey on your foot, it's not going to feel good. No. Some of you act like that's happened to you before. Amen. A couple of you saying, Pastor, I can relate to you on that. Right? They're hard. You know what I've come to find out is God makes preparations on us. He has to soften our heart a little bit, doesn't it? You know what oftentimes happens, part of the reason why people don't really get to where God wants them to be, or they don't come to the place of salvation to receive the Lord, or even if they do, they don't really fulfill God's will for their life, is because they simply got a hard heart. And you do understand that sometimes God has to do things to us to start to thaw out our hard hearts or to soften our hearts, because you and I know you can't make the purchase. That's part of the process. That is part of the preparation. But there has to be a thought process. And church, there's times where God has to come down and make some preparations in our hearts in order to make us more usable where He can do something with us. You know, the other thing I was thinking about that thawing process is that it's not a very glamorous process. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never sat down and watched a turkey thaw. Have you? First of all, it takes several days. I don't got time. My time is more valuable than to sit there and watch an old bird thaw out. It's not very glamorous, but you know what? It's necessary. It's a necessary part. So what I'm trying to tell you, friend, is that God starts to work in your lives and God starts to work in your hearts. That is a necessary part of what it is that God is trying to do to make a greater preparation or to get for a greater service for later on. It's not very glamorous, but it's part of the process. Now, the next thing, when I think about the preparations that are made, you start to think about that old bird. There's the purchase. There's the thawing. And then there's some things that happen. After it's thawed out, do you immediately put it in the oven then? No. What if you take it out of the package? Do you put it in the oven then? No, I'm missing something. What am I missing? Okay, before that, what am I missing? You got to wash it and clean it. Yep, we're going to get to that. What else? Well, who said that? Dana, what did you say? Take the giblets out. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't cook my birds with the giblets in there. You ever seen where somebody cooked them and then forgot to take that out? It's not. You know what that is? That reminds me of, it may look pretty on the outside, but it's going to be rotten on the inside. It's not going to have a good flavor. First of all, that's plastic and plus all kinds of things that I just don't really want mixed in with my meat. You know what has to happen, folks, as God is preparing our hearts to make us more usable for His glory? You do realize He has to come in and remove some things out of our life. And part of the trouble that we have is that we don't allow God to come in and work. We realize there's some things in our life that should not be there. But part of what God has to do in order to make us usable, in order to make us where we can really serve Him as we should, is that things have to be removed out of our lives. And friend, I don't know about you, but when's the last time you got on your face before God and said, Lord, I know there's some things in my heart that need to be removed out of my life. I've got pride in my life, or I've got lust in my life, or I've got this problem in my life or that problem, and I'm caught up in this and caught up in that. And Lord, I want You to take this heart and remove everything out of there, Lord, that doesn't please You. If you see, friends, if you really want to be used for God's glory, you've got to allow God to work in our hearts. And I'm confident tonight, if we would submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, that He would show us that there's some things in our lives that simply need to be removed before we are usable. Before we are usable. So obviously there's some things that need to be removed. Then we start to talk about the seasoning process. And we can incorporate a lot of things. Everybody has their own way of seasoning. There's a brining process. I like to do that. And then there's, of course, a different seasoning that you can add. However you do that, you do realize that part of what God does as we come to the house of God, as we start to learn and we start to get a better grasp on the Word of God and we start to learn how to rightly divide the Word of truth, you know, there's some seasoning that's being added to our lives. And in fact, the Bible teaches us in this very same chapter, in the very next verse of 34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall be seasoned? The Bible describes us as being the salt of the earth. Amen? So we are in the process of getting seasoned as well. In fact, there's a scripture that reminds me. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Right? So we are also in the seasoning process, and We get that through several different ways. Of course, so we shared the scripture, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen. That's part of the cleansing process that has to be done. But then also there's that renewing of our minds that it talks about in the book of Romans chapter 12. That's part of what needs to be done. We start to get into the Word of God. We start to learn the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. And friend, that adds season in our life and thus in turn helps us to be a better witness for God's glory. So there's that brining process. And then, you know, there's the roasting process. How many of you have ever been in the fire before? Amen. You do realize before that turkey is really usable, it has to go through the fire. Does it not? You realize before God can really use you the way He wants to use you, you're going to have to go through the fire. Amen. You don't really start to strengthen your faith or exercise your faith until you've been through the fire a few times. Now you and I both know, even if you did all of that, you could take a turkey, you could buy the best one in the market, you could thaw it out, you could soak it in the best seasonings and brine, and then set it on the table. It can have all the seasoning you want. But friend, until that turkey has been through the heat and the fire, it's no good for me. It's not usable yet. And friend, that's a reminder tonight that God is still in the process. That's one of the things that God is trying to do in our lives, is make preparations. And there's times we have to go through the fire. And oftentimes we wonder, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Friend, God is trying to make you more usable for His glory. So maybe there's some things going on. In fact, the Bible says, thinking out strange concerning the fire trials. Don't think it's odd. In fact, if you don't ever have anything that happens, you probably ought to think that's odd. Because you think, well, man, God's not trying to do anything in my life to really prepare my heart and prepare my life. But friend, the fact that He's brought you through the fire a few times proves that He's trying to do something with you, trying to make you more usable to fulfill His will for your life. So that's part of the process. We think about the preparations that God makes in our life. Then there's the proving or testing process that happens in our lives. You know, one of the things that I do know is that the internal temperature of a turkey needs to be 165 degrees. There's some people that like to go higher than that. You're going to dry it out. Amen. So some of y'all got dry personalities and you cook your turkeys the same way. It's okay to smile a little bit tonight. But what I do know is that the safe right temperature in the internal temp of the turkey is 165, and I generally use a thermometer to put that in. It still cooks when you bring it out. Amen? So take that joker out at 165. Don't necessarily trust the little butterball, little red little thing that pops out. That may or may not be right. Okay? But there is a proving process. And you know, there's part of that testing process that kind of is the next step. After we've been through the fire, you know what happens with the metal when to make that metal stronger. You realize, and the Bible talks about purified seven times. It's really a process of purification and removing the infirmities out of it when it's put through the heat. But then that metal is tested. That metal is proven. I think about that story of David and Goliath, and when he was about to go into battle, and Saul had set forth his armor before David, and said, "David, you know, here you don't have any armor. All you've got is a slingshot and a few smooth stones. That's not going to work very well with a giant, with a warrior like Goliath." And he offered up his armor. But what did David say? What was his response? He said, "I have not proved them. I have not tested them." Friend, I want to tell you that there is a proving process. There is a testing process. Amen? Things happen in our life along with the fire trials that are going to prove us. In fact, the Bible even says, lay hands suddenly on no man. There's another example from the Bible scripturally about people that would be appointed to leadership, about not just letting them step in and be a novice, if you will, as the Bible speaks about. So there is a proving process. We read a few weeks ago how we need to try the spirits to see whether they're of God. That's part of the proving process. But friend, I want to tell you that that's part of what is happening in our lives as God makes preparations. And then, of course, there's the part that we all anticipate and wait for. You're ready to cut in, and you're ready to taste the thing, right? You're ready to taste it. I want to give you a scripture real quick in Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 8. give it a second to get there. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 8, the Bible says, O taste, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You see, friend, the final product of what God is trying to do is absolutely magnificent. But there's a key part of that, O taste and see that the Lord is good. What God is trying to do in your life is good. What God is trying to do in your life is magnificent. But there's a part that says, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. If we don't trust God with what He's trying to do, and that's part of what happens sometimes. The proving comes, the fire comes, all this testing comes in our lives, and we don't keep our relationship with the Lord where it should be. We don't trust God how we should. And so you know what happens oftentimes? We get discouraged. And I think we talked about that. Isn't that one of the devil's greatest tools? One of his greatest devices is the fact that he can lead us to discouragement. These things happen in our lives. We don't trust the Lord. We don't really see the goodness of God. We start to lose sight of how good God is, which is part, in light of the season that we're trying to recognize, is we simply forget how good God is, so thus we are not thankful for what God is doing in our lives. So you see, friend, God is trying to do something great, but we have to put our trust in Him. We mentioned tonight the preparations that Jesus made for us. We mentioned some of the preparations. It's not limited to these that God is making. And I want to mention with the scriptures that we read tonight, get back over here to Luke 14, some of the preparations that we must make in our lives. Now, it says in verse number 26, and I know this caught your attention, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So let me give you a little biblical exposition on that. The definition of what we're talking about here is not hate in the concept that you and I think. It literally means to love less. To love less. In other words, you love God more than you love your father and your mother and your wife and your children, your brethren, your sisters, and your own self. I love how God in His infinite wisdom included His own self. So it's not God doesn't want you to hate your parents or your wife. That goes contrary to what the Bible says. It literally means in this term right here to love less. Now, if we love something else more than God, you do understand that we have made that thing or even a person our idol. Anything that you put before the Lord, Colossians 1:18 says that He must have the preeminence in all things. All that simply means, church, that He's first in influence or rank in our life. That means He's number one. We do know that the Lord is number one in our lives. Should be number one in our lives. So that's what we're talking about here. So some of the preparations that we need to make in our life is maybe a realignment of priorities and realizing that God is number one and everything else comes after that. For the record, men, let me tell you something. If your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with your spouse or your wife is not going to be right. Ladies, if your relationship with the Lord is not right, understand that your relationship with your husband is not going to be right. The relationship with your children is not going to be right. The relationship with your employer is not going to be right. The relationship with your fellow church members and brothers and sisters in Christ, if your relationship with God is not right, understand that the rest of everything else is going to be out of balance. So, why do you think the Lord Jesus Christ says, hey, if you're going to come after me, notice, if any man, in other words, this is something that you have to prepare for, this is something you have to do if you're going to be my disciple. Now, since we are called Christians, another term for that is a disciple of Christ, we are all essentially, should be, striving to be better disciples of Jesus Christ. So that's what he says in verse 26 and 27. And whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Brother Robert, Brother Dennis, Brother Dana, several other folks, you know, we had the sound wall built. We've had a little small office in the process of being built almost to completion. You do realize that before they did that, there were some preparations that had to be met. There were some measurements that had to be met. There was discussion that had to be addressed on how it was going to be built and what the goals were, what the objectives were. They didn't just go up to Home Depot and just buy a few 2x4s and just throw them back there and say, well, let's try to build something. You know, a wiser way or smarter way to build is to measure, to discuss, to look at the different scenarios, to look at different options, and to look at the layout, and then get a list of materials together, and then go and get the products that you need to come back and finish the job that needs to be done. The example here, which of you intended to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. I want to tell you something. If you're going to build something, for the record, a call to serve God is a call for preparation. Anything that you're going to do for God's glory is going to need some preparation. Amen? When we come to the house of God and the Lord has given us a scripture or thought as the message of the hour, you understand that preparations have to be made. When a song, a special is put together, preparations have to be made in order for that to be what God wants it to be. If you're going to build something, anything, preparations have to be made. If you're going to serve God in any way, preparations have to be made. And here he's saying, why would you not? For who or which of you intended? Why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you sit down and make sure that you have, first of all, everything that you need so that way you can finish it? Verse 29, lest happily after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. I've seen that. If you just go up the road here towards Casa Grande, there's a huge, huge building. What's it called? Phoenix Market? Phoenix Mart. And I thought at first from a distance, I'm thinking, my, what are they building here? This looks like a very big building. It looks like a lot's going to happen here. A lot's going to go on. Later I come to find out that they did a lot of preparations, but they didn't finish the job. And now all that money and all that effort and that foundation was laid. The thing don't even have doors on it. Probably don't have any electricity or utilities hooked up. All it could be, all it is right now is just a nice place to get out of the sun. Isn't that a shame? Someone somewhere didn't count the cost. I don't know if it was an issue with permits. I don't know if it was an issue of funding. Regardless of what it is, someone somewhere didn't make the proper preparations. And now that building just sits. All that wasted time, all that wasted effort, all that wasted materials just sitting there in the hot sun. Same concept here, friend. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to understand that if you're going to go to the finish, it is going to cost you something. Not only are you going to have to make some adjustments in your life, not only will you have to realign the priorities, but friend, you need to understand now that serving God is going to come at a cost. In other words, there's going to be some sacrifices that have to be made. There's a lot of places that you could have been at tonight, but you chose to come to the house of God, to honor God, to serve God, to see how you can draw closer to God. There's probably several things that you could have been doing. I'm confident that you've got a busy schedule tomorrow, and that's great, but you came to the house of God. That's a sacrifice. You worked, many of you worked all day. You came to the house of God. That's a sacrifice. How many here are a little tired? Amen? A couple of you, you've been working hard all week. Wait till you get my age, you'll better understand that. You made a sacrifice to be here, church. You paid a cost. You got in your car. You burnt some gas. Got in your vehicle and got here. Made time. Friend, that's just a simple example. All I'm just trying to remind you, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to finish, if you're going to serve God to the end, it's going to cost you something. And most people just live, walk through life and realize, yeah, I believe in God, and don't realize that, hey, listen, there's some sacrifices that have to be made if you're going to be a real disciple of Christ. gives us another example of a, first of all was the tower, the second of all was a king going to war, make battle, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth off now first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. If you're going to war with an army twice the size of yours, you better sit down and think about that. You better sit down and pray about that. Amen. That ought to be something that you ought to really consider, or else in verse 32, while the other is yet a great way off, he's sending off an ambassage and desired conditions of peace, and then all of a sudden you see, oh boy, this army's a lot bigger than we thought. We better try to call a truce here. We better make peace with these people. You better have thought about that beforehand until you're facing the enemy in the eyeball to eyeball, right? Right? Just smart preparations. So likewise, whosoever he be that of you that forsaketh all, not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. So again, there's going to be some things that you have to give up. The Lord's going to have to be first in your life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So we see tonight, church, there was preparations that Jesus made for you and I in order that we could be saved. There was preparations that God is trying to do in our lives to make us usable into what He wants us to be. And friend, there's some preparations that we have to do, that we have to be willing to sacrifice, that we have to be willing to give to God, that we have to be willing to make Him number one Lord of our lives in order for God to make us what He wants us to be. These are all preparations that have been or must be made. Let's all stand to our feet for just a moment, just for a time of invitation. I know that tonight's been a little different kind of service, but we do want to give you an opportunity to do business with the Lord. I'll ask Connor, somebody, come to the piano. Play something softly. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe somebody here tonight will say, Pastor, there's some preparations that I need to allow God to do in my life in order for me to be what God wants me to be. Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to allow God to make some preparations. Or maybe there's some preparations that I need to do. Maybe there's some things that need to be removed out of my life. Would you slip up your hand for just a moment? We're going to go to God in prayer on your behalf. Just slip it up. You may put it back down. Thank you. I see those hands. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, preparations must be made. Anybody else? Just slip up your hand, put it back down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Anybody else? Maybe you're here tonight and you would say, Pastor, you were speaking about the preparations that Jesus made for me. And I don't know that I've ever received Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know if I was to die today, if I'd go to heaven when I die. Is there anybody like that at all tonight? Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you tonight, dear friend? Say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know if reservations have been made for me in heaven. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, God, for just some biblical truths that we've seen in the Scripture tonight. Lord, we know that there's preparations that you're trying to do in our lives. There's preparations that, Lord, that we need to sacrifice, things that we need to do, allow you to do in our lives. And Lord, several lifted their hands tonight, expressing that desire and their willingness. Lord, you know who they are, and I pray that you would help them accomplish those things in their lives. I pray that you would do the work, Lord, that needs to be done, that you see fit into their lives. And Lord, I don't know, I couldn't see if anybody raised their hand tonight concerning salvation. Maybe there's somebody at home listening. Lord, if they're not saved tonight, I pray that you convict them of their need for salvation. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Lord, we pray that you bless the remainder of the fellowship tonight. Bless the remainder of the service. Lord, it's for your glory. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. What we want to do is let's get a couple men. What we're going to do is have this way cleared out. I want to go ahead and let everybody come by. Get some pie and then get you a seat. And then what we're going to do is while we're fellowshipping a little bit, we're going to pass the mic around, and maybe you've got just a special praise, just a special testimony that you want to brag on the Lord, something God's done for you, and we want to give you a chance to do that as we enjoy some fellowship together. So let's ask, we'll have a word of prayer. Obed, I'd like you to come up here and ask the blessing on the fellowship for us, brother, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night you've given us, Lord, and for the great mystery heart. We pray that you would help us to be able to go home and study that tonight. Pray that you would bless this family, Rabbi Ati, Lord, the fellowship we're about to have. You bless them to go well, and we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to come here. Thank you for the safety that you provided, for everyone allowing us to be here, Lord. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's slide this thing over if we can.